Well, welcome to our ladies' annual Christmas brunch, and I'm Shelley Stone, and I am filling in for Grace, who's sick and has a very hoarse voice, and so welcome, and welcome Westwood. Thank you for coming. So anyways, let us open in a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Jesus, for just meeting us here. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, Lord. Thank you for coming, Lord, in the humble way that you did. Thank you for dying for us, Lord, and we're overwhelmed by it. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of us today, Lord, and that we would take the time, Lord, as we maneuver through the holidays, Lord, and check up our lists and, Father, prepare for dinners and in the celebration of your birth, Lord. Help us to stop and pause and be mindful of our lives, of what you really did give, Lord, the cost, and what you have to offer us, Lord, as we go about our life. Thank you so much for meeting us here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so as you know, our theme is from John 1:5, and it's the light that shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So we're going to focus a little bit on that this morning. My grandson's little Bible describes this event as a silence, as silent as the falling snow, he came in, and when no one was looking, in darkness he came. I like the way they describe that. And so I just pondered, what does it mean in darkness that he came? So as we reflect on, like, our lives when we came to know Jesus, they were, I can probably speak for all of you, they were in darkness. We had a dark life. And I looked at the meaning of the Greek word for darkness, and it is depression, a repercussion of sin, and hence an imprisoned life made by one's own choices. And that really is where we were. That's where I was when I came to know the Lord. So this is an accurate description of our lives before we came to know the Lord. We were oppressed, depressed, as a result of living in darkness. Surely we can agree the moment Christ came in, his forgiveness set us free, and it made our life worth living. It made our life worthy. So here we are, years later, sojourners on this road of life. We're not immune to troubles. We're not immune to sorrow, disappointments, and trials. At times we regress when our eyes shift off the Lord and onto our own circumstances. Are you in that place today? Maybe you're not experiencing complete darkness, but just on the brink or under a dark cloud, so to speak. Could it be the result of the last election, the economy, your dwindling bank account and mounting bills, a home foreclosure, a divorce, failing health, the death of a loved one? Maybe it's fear, depression, a fragile marriage. Once again, your joy has disappeared and you feel that blanket of depression return. Just as the darkness comprehended it not, we too can miss him in the middle of our trials by being blinded by our circumstances. The reality of greater is he that is in you has kind of faded out of our view, and we've lost our ability to see Jesus's possibilities. Perhaps we react as Mary did when the darkness of her brother's death blinded her. Can you relate to what she said to Jesus as she said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died? If we truly believe Jesus can raise the dead, then why can't he resurrect our crippled lives and restore our joy? Do we believe what Jesus told the woman caught in adultery? I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Do we claim this promise as our own? As the disciples were suddenly caught in a storm of fear, perceiving that they were doomed as Jesus slept peacefully in the boat, how often have we cried out, even as Christians, "Master, Master, we are perishing"? Do we marvel that even the winds and the sea obey him? What storms in our life can he not calm and bring to pass? Jesus didn't come to save us from eternal damnation. He wants to give us hope today, peace amid our troubles, victory over our fretting. He delights to prove himself strong amid the storms, amid our falterings, amid our crisis. Instead of choosing to believe Jesus' words when he said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," we burden ourselves with hopelessness and despair. What is the first thing we slack off doing when we find ourselves discouraged? We sleep in a little longer in the morning, skipping our time with the Lord. Our prayer life limps along. Church attendance becomes sporadic. All ammo needed to shoot down the enemy of our soul. Instead, we must be, as the writer of the Hebrews says, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Notice it says he is faithful. He promised. We need to enter into that rest, as Hebrews 4:11 says. How? By simply claiming his word to be true, knowing our life is not our own, we've been bought with a price. Therefore, Jesus Christ laid claim on us. He owns us. Trusting the scriptures that say God is good, whereas everything else he does is good. Being diligent to stay in the word, we increase our faith, we strengthen our feeble knees. Entering into his rest, hope is renewed, rejoicing returned. David, like us, struggled at times with his distress. It is him who writes in Psalm 42:5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" Then David exhorts his soul by telling himself, "Hope in the Lord, for I shall yet praise him for the help of my countenance." There are many reasons God allows trials. Obviously, one is to prove himself faithful, to break us of our own self-reliance. Another reason we ought not to overlook is how valuable the trying of our faith is to others. Sometimes our trials are brought on by our own choosing. Most of the time that is the case. God not only uses it to correct us, but also, as he exhorted Peter to do after Peter went through that dark time of denying Christ, he said, "After you go through this trial, strengthen the brethren." Jesus was reminding him that he had prayed for him, that he would pray for us. How much more compassion, mercy, forgiveness are we willing to extend to others when we have been humbled by God's forgiveness and his acceptance? Finally, don't forget that the world is watching our witness. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 5:16 to let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And in Luke 11:33, Jesus says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in see the light. And where the light is, there is hope. So don't let the cares of this world diminish the light of Jesus in you. He wants to pierce through our darkness, the darkness that weighs us down with burdens, to prove his faithfulness to you before the world. Let him right now today fill you with that light to overflowing, regardless of your circumstances. And you will be a beacon of hope to your family, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors. I pray as you leave today that you have renewed hope, renewed joy, that will go beyond this Christmas season, that will last your lifetime, the whole year. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, come talk to me, talk to someone near you. Don't leave without the hope of Jesus Christ in you. And, it's hard enough to travel this road of life without him, and to be left to our own wrong choices. And I'm glad we're at the mercy of his sovereignty, where he can take our blunders and our failures, and he can turn them around, and he can put us back together. And make a wonderful life out of ours. So, anyway, that's it. Thank you for coming, and enjoy more fellowship and more song. And let's pray. Thank you again, Lord, for meeting us here. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you that is the very essence of your character, Lord. That you are good, and everything you do for us and to us is good, Lord. And we praise you for that, Lord. And I know and I am confident that you will meet each one of us in the place that we're at, Lord. And you will lift us up and dust us off and set our lives aright again, Lord. Thank you so much for the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.